Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Need some extensions get done, keep some homegrown players.
Yeah, I'll leave that up to Jed. We have a couple guys that we'd love to extend, but you know, I also, you know, if it doesn't work out, that's okay too. I appreciate that they would rather test the market, but I don't know. It's up to Jed, but it'd be great because, you know, not only some of the guys that we, you know, consider extending, we know them as players, but we also know them as people and the kind of people you want to be around and you want in your clubhouse.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce
What's
Levine.
So funny?
Until 11
What's
o'clock,
so funny,
suppressing
mister?
My laughter. Look, Bruce, Tom Ricketts addressed the team and then the media earlier in the week. If you are a fan of Ian Happ or Nico Horner, let's just say getting their contract extensions done did not sound like it was a point of urgency for Tom Ricketts. It doesn't sound like he's having a hard time sleeping at night wondering, oh, gee, will we be able to lock up Ian Happ long-term or Nico Horner? What will we do without them? No, that's not what I heard at all.
Well, look, I'm a big fan of Ian Happ. He's an interesting guy as well as proving to be a really good ball player. I'd like to see him do it one more time, wouldn't you, David?
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair. I understand that. Coming off an all-star season, though, I think his camp would have liked to have gotten something done to take advantage of that this offseason. And maybe they still can, Bruce, but it didn't sound like a priority for the Cubs.
Well, the poor guy's going to make $10 million, David. He's just going to have to get by. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to get through this year. I think if we start, a fund for him, you know,
GoFundMe page.
Help him.
Yeah,
yeah, that would be. But no, I'm kidding because I do like the way that his career is gone now. I do like what he did last year to make himself a better ball player, a better hitter from the right side, a line drive hitter, a defensive player of note, winning a Gold Glove. But again, I'm not jumping into 7 years at $20 million for him at this point until I see it a second time.
I think that's smart, Bruce. And let me separate the two. My amusement was in Ricketts' reaction. My feeling and opinion on what they should do is wait, because when you talk about the Cubs farm system, they're loaded in the outfield. Pete Crow Armstrong is catching fly balls behind his back on the Marquee Sports Network. Check that out. If go to the Twitter machine and check that out. That would be worth your time. Brennan Davis is on the way. Alcantara is a guy that I think is the highest rated or one of the more highly rated prospects out there. They have options beyond Ian Happ this season, and you wonder how many holes they'll have to fill. Let's wait and see. So I do think that waiting would be appropriate. With Nico Horner, I would have a different opinion, even though they'd have similarly highly rated prospects in the middle infield. I think he might be a guy you're more likely to keep than Ian Happ. If I were going to pick one of the two, it might be Horner.
Sure. And again, last year was the first time that Nico Horner played a full season. Okay. Again, it's not his fault that he got injured, but the reality is, you know, what type of player is he going to be? It's probably to his benefit, in reality, to just play out this year. He might be a lot more than they think he is at this point in time next year. So, might you know, he's got two more years left of arbitration. after this first year that he's dealing with. So from all that, I think that's, you know, appropriate comments. But I think what I heard from Tom was, and I guess the underlying story of this segment is that he's okay with guys coming and going at this point. They're going to be a better team, but I haven't heard a world championship team yet. So I don't think he's expecting this team to be anything more than a very good team contending for a division.
Cubs spring training coverage on The Score, sponsored by Sloan, the official water efficiency partner of the Chicago Cubs. Bruce, that's interesting. My takeaway from what Tom Ricketts had to say might not be entirely what you just described, as much as it was a willingness to spend if they reward the kind of confidence and reward the kind of spending they just did in the offseason. And if they're at the deadline and they're a couple games back, or they can convince themselves, you know what, our pitching is going to hold up, our hitting is going to find a way to manufacture runs even without a proven power hitter, that we'll go out and maybe buy somebody instead of selling. And Tom Ricketts is talking about spending and leaving room between where they are now as the ninth highest payroll in baseball and the competitive balance tax was interesting, because it gives people hope that, you know what, even though they spent over $300 million this offseason, if they're in contention in July, they'll spend more to maybe put themselves in a position to make the postseason.
Yeah, not so sure about it. You have more than half of the starting players.
Did you just dismiss that?
Look at the starting players on the team. Okay, you got a left fielder that's in a walk year. You have a center fielder that's in a walk year. You have a first baseman that's in a walk year. You have a catcher that's in a walk year. Okay, so what do we really have here right now? We have good players who are expected to help this team contend, which is a really good idea. In the meantime, the Cub farm system expects to produce and get some of those players up to the major league level and ready to compete for 2023 at the end and 2024. So I think, again, the product that we see on the field here is not going to be reminiscent to what we see in 2025. I'm skipping 2024. Maybe some of the players will still be there. But this is a championship team still in the making, a couple years away.
I don't think they're a championship team this year. I think they could max out by being a wild card team. I also think that you look at the balanced schedule, they're not going to they're going to be playing other teams that might end up benefiting the Cubs more than we think. It's the end of February, Bruce. I'm a little more optimistic about them contending, competing, being above 500. I would take the over on the Cubs win total this season.
I agree. I think they can be at that level. I'm just saying this group is not the sustainable group that you're looking for the future, David. This is a group of good ball players that they brought in, and it's a step up from where they were last year when they surprised people by being as good as they were the last 70 games of the year and finishing over 500. But it's not a it reminds me a little bit of the 1989 Cubs, although that team had rookies and young players that were coming up through the system and starting to make an impact with Grace and Girardi and Walton and Smith. It certainly wasn't sustainable, but it was a $11 million payroll, the lowest in the National League, that went on to win a division that year. This is the type of team, I think, that could be a surprise and be up there contending toward the end of the year if everything goes right.
I like that historical comp. All I'm saying, Bruce, and not getting over my skis here, is that in investing $300 million in free agents, the Cubs bought themselves some time this year to be competitive, to the point where we all realize, because we look at their farm system, the way they develop these prospects and what their timetables are respectively, that next year could be a season you see a lot of these guys coming up and taking over. I think they've bought themselves some time by spending intelligently in free agency to make themselves more competitive than maybe people thought they would be in 2023.
Yeah, on paper, I agree with you. You know, they got to go out there and stay healthy and prove it. I think they have a chance, but I certainly like their chances more going into this year. And I don't think the Cardinals are a good team. I'm not super impressed by their rotation. I don't think they're going to win as many games as they did last year. Milwaukee has an outstanding rotation. I'm not super impressed by their offense. I don't think St. Louis and Milwaukee did a heck of a lot in the offseason to separate the Cubs from them. I think the Cubs took a step up toward them. As to how far, we'll see how the season progresses. But I agree with you that this is a better team, should be a more competitive team, but not a sustainable team at this point in time.
All right, Bruce, there's a couple things I want to get your opinion on before we move on during this Cubs segment. First of all, with Seiya Suzuki talking to the media, not going to focus on the 25 pounds of muscle that he looks like he brought back. He's in the best shape of his life, too. Goodness sakes, he looks like he's cut. He could play cornerback for the Bears, but I digress. He was very funny in talking about his willingness to recruit his World Baseball Classic teammate, Shohei Ohtani.
He is inviting him.
He is inviting him, Bruce. We know what that means. This season, besides putting themselves in a position to contend, allows Tom Ricketts a chance to save that $500 million free agent could be out there. Shohei Ohtani, future Cub, or is that nonsense?
I'm not that crazy about the player, to tell you the truth. I mean, he's a great pitcher. He's a great hitter. You know, make up your mind. What are you going to be? You're going to be a hitter or you're going to be a pitcher? Honestly, I don't
Bruce,
think, look, honestly,
Babe Ruth didn't have to decide.
I'm going to tell you the truth. He's a great player. He's a fantastic story. I'm not investing $500 million in any player. So I don't care if Ruth came back. Not giving him that money right now, okay?
Wow.
If he's a difference maker for the Chicago Cubs at this time next year, okay, it might be a consideration. I just don't think that's really the piece that they're looking for at this point in time. I think he goes to a West Coast team or the Mets or the Yankees. I don't think he's Chicago bound, as our segment always says, for Suzuki. Would the Cubs consider it? Would Tom Ricketts have the money to pay him? Yes, and yes. But I just don't see him in the equation next year at this time.
As Sean Sears points out, the Cubs were the runners-up to the Angels, from what we understand, and now they have another reason to come here because of Seiya Suzuki. But you're right, Bruce. I will. There's plenty of Chicago-bound segments that between now and free agency we can continue to speculate, and you can continue to dismiss me as you have twice now in this segment, but who's keeping score? Let's get to another thing I want your opinion on. We heard from David Ross, who was on the Mully and Haas show Friday morning. Zach was filling in for me. Great interview with Mully and Zach from the manager of the Chicago Cubs. And, of course, because of Wilson Contreras being part of the Cardinals now and having the Ken Rosenthal story in The Athletic last weekend about the rift that could have been between David Ross and Wilson Contreras leading to the reason the Cubs let him go, David Ross.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Was asked about that report.
Yeah, I mean, I read that article. Somebody sent me that. You know, I don't think that there's much. I didn't see any facts in there that, that Ken wrote, and I respect Ken's ability and what he's done in this game. But I love Wilson. I don't have any bad things to say about Wilson. And I would, you know, as a former catcher, I would give real pause to anybody questioning game calling and preparation. Unless you've caught, you should never be commenting on those things. I think Wilson's a championship caliber catcher. That's why he got such a big contract. I think the industry showed you what kind of worth he has. And, you know, he's a brother for life for me, World Series brother. I don't have any negative things to say about Wilson. That guy went out every single day and played hard, played for this organization extremely hard, and was a part of a lot of winning here. So, you know, without bashing anybody that writes stuff, you know, I didn't see anything in that article that would give any, you know, credibility to that, you know, like you said, anonymous stuff and, right, and no factual stuff. Wilson's a really good player, and, you know, what, 3-time All-Stars, only a couple of those in Chicago Cubs history. I think the frustration on my end always comes with losing and trying to find ways to do that. So that's probably all I have to say about that.
David Ross pushes back, Bruce. A little surprised that he went that route in terms of, well, if you haven't caught, you might not be willing to comment. But I know what he was saying, and he was certainly denying any rift with Wilson Contreras.
Well, look, the Chicago Cubs front office did not offer Wilson Contreras a contract after 2018. They offered him a 5-year deal at about $35 to $40 million a year at that time. Okay, he decided he wasn't interested in that. There was never an offer after that. So laying this on David Ross, who showed up in 2020, would probably not be accurate. I think it's more a front office and a metrics decision that this is not their catcher of the future. This is not the guy that they want putting the fingers down, calling games for them. He was just not their type. I think you can have both, David. I think you can have the Cubs say he wasn't the one for us in the future, and the Cubs saying that he's been a really good catcher for us, an important catcher for us, but not what we want for the future. So that's the message I got all along. That's the message Wilson Contreras got all along. I don't know about a riff with David Ross. I think David Ross probably thinks, you know, that the same way that the front office does. When he got hired in 2020, they probably said, hey, you know what? Wilson's our catcher right now. He probably won't be for the future. And I think Ross had that in mind all the way through until last year when he didn't sign again.
I still think they're going to regret letting him go. I understand that David Ross, why he would push back at that notion, but it remains to me a mystery. Every time that you look at, as Sean points out as well, last year you hear from Cub pitchers and they're talking about how great of a receiver Yan Gomes was, how much they love throwing to Yan Gomes. Hey, what do you think about Wilson Contreras and his framing? Boy, that Yan Gomes, he sure can catch. I mean, it was almost like it was hard to find people complimentary of him being a receiver. Nobody's going to doubt his offensive talents because they were obvious and the numbers speak for themselves, Bruce. But I think that was, you read between the lines, there was maybe more to it than meets the eye. Certainly, I don't think I'll ever understand it. And I think they will regret it.
Here's the one area that they're going to really miss Wilson Contreras more than any. Not the home run bat, not the energy he brings, but the fact that he's one of the best back pickers in the game. And now that we do not, we have situations where the pitcher can only throw to first base twice before the third time, and it's an automatic balk if you do, and the guy goes to second base. Backpicking becomes a major art form for defenses going into this season.
Bruce, that's a great point, and I think that's what they may miss as much as anything. All right, last thing on the Cubs, because this was a very – I don't know how I feel about your thought and if I agree with you or not. I think I disagree with you, but Christopher Morel and his status on this team, his role for the Cubs, and what to expect after a breakout 2022 rookie season, you're not totally sold that he's going to have the kind of success in 2023 that allows him to stay in Chicago all season long? Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't see a spot for him, honestly. Here's a young 24-year-old kid who showed a good power bat early on. The league caught up to him the last month and a half of the season. Struck out 137 times in 425 at-bats. Needs to play every single day, okay? So for me, you know, if this guy was just a 28-year-old guy starting to get it together, 29, I'd say, yeah, keep him on the bench and you're ready to go. Here, you got Rios and you got Wisdom at third base. You have two guys at first base. Your outfield is expected to play every day veteran players with Suzuki, Bellinger, and
Hold up.
Hab.
Hold up. Yeah. Rios and Wisdom at third base?
Yeah.
Rios?
Yeah.
The new guy that got like 5 minutes ago? He's more in the mix than Christopher Morel, who showed you.
Without question.
Help me understand that. Talk to me like I'm a fifth grader.
Take a look at his history. Take a look at the left-handed bat and understand that it's a left-handed game and that this guy has power. I think you'll see that over a period of years and sporadic games because of injuries and not playing on a Dodger team that was loaded, this guy has a world of possibility of having a big offensive OPS bat. And I think he will be somehow segued in with Wisdom to playing third base. I think he can play first base. He can DH. I think that left-handed bat is going to play for the Chicago Cubs. So
wow.
From that perspective, that's what I'm seeing with Rios coming over to the Chicago Cubs. Remember, he was on the most loaded team in baseball when it came to talent with the Los Angeles Dodgers. If he was on any other team in baseball, he would have had a lot more at-bats and got to play more. The Cubs really did their homework. They really did a good job in bringing in Rios.
Nick Madrigal, does he fit into the mix? He gets a lot of attention, Bruce, because of his draft status and status as a former White Sox player as well in that Kimbrel trade. You didn't mention him.
Yeah, well, look, from all indications, he's taken to third base well, better than they thought. Able to make the throw, which is was a question mark, whether he was short arm at the third base from third to first. Again, he's one injury away from being a starting middle infielder, right? If something happens to Horner, right? If something happens to Swanson, Nick Madrigal is your starting second baseman.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, let's hope that doesn't happen because Dansby Swanson and Nico Horner are going to have an Ironman contest to see who can play more games this year. I think I'm taking the over at 155, and I'll go with Swanson.
Look, David, the one thing that we always forget as baseball fans at the beginning of the year, we look at baseball spring training like it's a video game. Here's our team. This is how they're going to set up opening day. It never happens because of injury and all kinds of different other things, but injury plays a huge part in this. And the fact that guys don't play full seasons anymore, that people are looked at as, you know, quasi starting players a lot of times in Major League Baseball, you have to have depth. And I think the Cubs did a really nice job of addressing that this offseason.
Thank you for my weekly Cubby reality check, Bruce. I needed it, I think, this week more than others. We're going to switch gears. We're going to go to Glendale, Camelback Ranch. Lamon Pope covers the White Sox for the Chicago Tribune. He joins us next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of new names and new faces and things are definitely being run differently. So far, it's been very organized, and really we're kind of just get in, get our work, and get out. So it's been good so far.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. Thank you to MLB Tonight for the audio. We're talking White Sox, and with time now to go out to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, and that's where we find the fine beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. Lamon Pope covers the Sox. Good morning, Lamon. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I'm doing well.
Thanks for joining us this morning. It has been a very newsy time at the Camelback Ranch, and from Mike Clevenger to Tim Anderson, a lot of controversy. Lamont, how would you describe the first 10 days or so of Sox camp and what has transpired since then?
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely kept us busy, that's for sure. I mean, it's been a situation where, entering camp, obviously, with a new manager and a largely new coaching staff, and that was one of the things that I was most looking forward to, just to seeing how Pedro ran things on a day-to-day basis. And so far, it's been one of those situations where they have kind of like those first 5 days with the pitchers and catchers, and then in the next 5 days with the position players arriving, and now we're getting ready with the first Cactus League game. And so, it's just been those steps of trying to implement what they want to get done as far as getting things taught, and also trying to keep everyone healthy. That's one thing that we asked Pedro about yesterday. Obviously, that's been such a huge story most of last season, starting with spring training with Lynn and with Crochet getting hurt. But being able to keep those guys healthy, being able to keep everyone healthy so far, that's been one of the positives so far coming out of camp.
Well, Mon, thanks for joining us. David and I were talking earlier about the WBC and all these players who were injured last year going to the WBC and playing for their respective countries. So from your perspective, what has been the vibe like about them going there, and the fact that, injury and being under other coaches and managers and having to ramp up their game quicker than they normally would in spring training could be a side story all spring long while this tournament goes on.
Yeah, Bruce, and one of the things that both Pedro and Rick kind of talked about is, from that one standpoint, first camp, you would like to have everyone around so they can kind of all be on the same page from that perspective. But they take a look at that larger picture as well, and knowing that, this is something that's bigger than one particular team. This is for, these guys want to play for their respective countries and represent their respective countries and have that opportunity. And so you're going to get an opportunity out of the gate to see so many of these guys play a little bit more, I think, in these early spring training games, because they're going to be gone to whatever country they're going to be playing for. And so you might see a lineup on a day-to-day basis where, you might see Tim and Luis and Moncada and Eloy, they might get a little more playing time in this first couple of games, because a situation where they're going to be going and they're going to be gone. They're not only ramping up for the WBC, but also having the opportunity to just kind of get their feet wet playing with the White Sox as well. And then same thing with Lynn. Obviously Lance is starting today. He's going to probably go two or three innings, and part of that's because he was here early, getting ramped up, not only for the season, but also for the WBC. And so they're taking a look at it from that perspective. It's an opportunity to get these guys a little more game experience right out of the gate, and see what they're kind of made up and able to do leading on into the WBC.
Yeah, to your point, I think there's six starting players in the lineup today in Pedro Grifol's first lineup out there that are projected at six or seven that are projected to be everyday players. You never see that the first day of spring training if it's not WBC. So a point well taken on your part. I'm just nervous that when you ramp guys up in February to play every day, you are really kind of rolling the dice toward the beginning of the year and whether or not they're too ready to start the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely that balance, right? I mean, there's a number of guys that they've talked about, you know, coming on into camp and getting a lot of work on it. Because obviously last year with the lockout, not having the opportunity to kind of keep tabs on a number of those guys, one of the advantages this offseason has been, you know, since everything was taken care of from that perspective, having a chance to sort of monitor the guys all offseason long, and to a point where, you know, maybe a guy like Grandal or a guy like G. Lito, guys that are, you know, those guys aren't particularly going to WBC, but you know, they've had the chance to kind of monitor them, and they're like to the point where they're going to have to kind of taper off a little bit because of some of the work that they've been able to do during the offseason. So it's a balance for sure, trying to make sure that the guys are ramped on up enough to play for the World Baseball Classic, but also wanting to keep them healthy enough and keep them healthy and ready to go for when things start really on March 30th in Houston. And so in a situation, obviously, with a team that has had so many injuries the past couple of years, you know, you want to be kind of as cautious as possible, but you also want to have these guys, you know, like in the case with Robert and Moncada, you know, those guys are representing Cuba, being among the first Major League Baseball players to represent Cuba in the World Baseball Classic. It's an opportunity for them that they want to give those guys that chance, but at the same time, you want to make sure that they're healthy, and they realize that job number one is being ready for the White Sox come March 30th against Houston.
Talking to Lamon Pope, covers the White Sox for the Chicago Tribune. Lamon, we earlier in the show heard from Pedro Grifol, who unsolicited mentioned how good Michael Clevinger looked in a bullpen session. Number one, was there any follow-up to what is the latest with the investigation and if Michael Clevinger even will be available to the White Sox? Or is this just an attempt to normalize the idea that, okay, he's here, he's pitching until we hear otherwise, he is the fifth starter? Because I think there are a lot of questions that raised. Maybe it's just in my mind, but I just wonder what went through yours.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation where, I mean, they're waiting just to sort of see what that next step is, and until that next step is taken, you know, one of the things that Pedro said during the first press conference as well is like, hey, you know, they don't really have that contingency plan in place. You know, the contingency plan is if something pops up, then that's when they'll make that plan. As far as, you know, making it public, I'm sure that they've talked about it and had discussions as far as you know, their depth is concerned, but. Right now, you know, the way that they're going about it is, you know, every fifth day, if he's available, he'll be out there on the mound starting for the Sox. And so, you know, he did throw a live bullpen the other day. And as you said, you know, that was the first, you know, he was the first person that Pedro mentioned in that situation. And so it's definitely a situation where, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, if it's a situation where we're all sort of just waiting to see what's the next step for Major League Baseball. And the White Sox, you know, from day one, when they had the opening press conference with Rick Hahn, he said that they're going to be waiting and just seeing what Major League Baseball decides, and they're just going to go about this from that perspective. And so it's a lot of wait and see, and from that standpoint, they just continue on, and he's continuing on to participate and ramp on up from that perspective to be ready for if he has that opportunity to pitch in a Houston series.
Lamon Pope of the Tribune, covering the White Sox and spring training, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. Lamon, my concern is Michael Kopech. There was just a subtle statement from Pedro last week saying, I don't know if he's going to be starting the season for us. We expect him maybe in the second week of the Major League season to be in our rotation. What's the latest on Michael Kopech coming back from the meniscus surgery, which was another one of those bizarre situations where us in the media didn't really know for sure there was a surgery going on until much, much later. Not saying the White Sox hid anything, because it's not their job to tell us that a player had surgery. We all assumed something had to be done because he was playing on a bad knee last year. What's the latest on Kopech, and when do you expect him to be a part of the White Sox rotation?
Yeah, Bruce. I mean, it's a situation. We had a chance to talk to Michael recently. I mean, he expects to be ready by by that first series. You know, you mentioned what Pedro said. You know, Pedro more along the lines of saying that, you know, probably that that home opening series against the Giants will be the opportunity where Michael will pitch. And so I think everything is on track for him to be, you know, during that, you know, not during that Houston series, but it sounds like during that San Francisco series, you know, with the knee, obviously, you know, the season ending injury as well, a situation where they're just sort of being cautious with him, ramping him up a little slowly, just making sure that, you know, they crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and making sure that he's ready to go. But he says that he's going to be ready to go when he gets the ball there for opening day. And so, or well, when the season starts. And so, you know, it sounds like it's going to be a situation where it's going to be like San Francisco series more likely. But it's a situation where, yeah, the knee just kind of coming off of it. He feels that he's going to be good to go.
So, Lamon, before we let you go, have you had a sit-down with Tim Anderson? How would you describe your relationship with him? Because you have covered this team now for a couple seasons, and I imagine you have thoughts on what was said during the week on the White Sox podcast on NBCSportsChicago.com.
Oh, yeah, I have a really good relationship with Tim. I mean, I think that, you know, he understands that we have a job to do. You know, he has a job to do as well. You know, he's been one of the guys from the get-go that, you know, I feel, you know, very comfortable going on up to and having a discussion and having an interview with him. And so, you know, I think that the overall vibe, not only from Tim, but from the guys in camp in general, has been pretty positive. I think it's been a situation where, you know, they've been pretty loose, even though I know that they understand that, you know, last year, you know, was a disappointing season. What Rick said the other day, he said it was an embarrassment. And so they realize it's, that they have to kind of regain that trust, not only and show that they can live up to those expectations, but also kind of live up to those thoughts with the fans. And so, you know, when it comes to Tim, you know, like I said, a very good working relationship with him that I've had from the beginning, and it's continued along on a day-to-day basis as well.
With Jose Abreu being gone, how noticeable is that clubhouse difference without everybody, a good majority of the players, a lot of the Latin American players, gathering around Pedro and the way that he kind of was the point of, you know, destination for them on a daily basis during spring training and really during the year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the questions that we had was who was going to step on up and be one of those, you know, emerge as one of those team leaders. I think that that's where the, you know, Elvis Andrus returning is going to help out as well. Here's someone who, I remember once he arrived, I think the first series was in Cleveland after he signed with the team. I remember walking into the clubhouse and, you know, he was sort of holding court right off the bat, and so he felt he fit right in right from the jump, and him coming on back, you know, he, not only a calming influence in the clubhouse, as someone that can, you know, has that leadership skill and that veteran presence, but on the field as well. I remember several times in which it just seemed like, you know, he would notice when a pitcher would need an extra breath, and so he would kind of walk on over to the mound just for a quick breather and just sort of help the pitcher sort of reset. And so those are the type of things that can't be taught. And so when you have someone like that who has the experience that Elvis has, you know, it's someone that the ball club can kind of gravitate towards, and he's sort of been that guy that's helped on out from that standpoint.
Lamon, thanks for your time. Enjoy the rest of spring training and keep pulling on that string.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right. Lamon Pope from the Chicago Tribune wrote a good story on Dylan Cease, ChicagoTribune.com. Check that out as well. Dylan Cease ready for bigger and better things in 2023, which would mean winning the Cy Young. That would be interesting. You know who else has high expectations for 2023? That's Eloy Jimenez. He is lighter. He thinks he's stronger, and we'll talk about what he expects next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Hey, Eloy, this offseason, has your conditioning program been any different than it has been in past years?
I'm going to give you a surprise, so I'm not going to answer right now. You're going to see me in spring training.
Okay, that sounds mysterious. So you you're going to come in a little bit perhaps lighter? I mean, sometimes guys come in heavier. Sometimes they come in lighter.
I don't know. It's going to be a surprise.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was Eloy Jimenez before reporting to spring training, Bruce, and he reported 25 to 30 pounds lighter after eliminating red meat from his diet and clearly doing something in the offseason that showed a commitment to conditioning, which I think on one hand people may worry about where's the power going to come from. I like it because I think it will help keep him healthier and on the field and avoid injury.
Yeah, you know, I think we heard over the past couple of years that he was reporting in the best shape of his career before this, you know. So from that perspective, you know, I get losing the weight and being ready. But I just think this is a guy that unfortunately is an injury prone player. You want to call it unlucky or injury prone. If you go back to every year of his career in the minor leagues and in the major leagues, except for the 2020 60 game season, Eloy's been hurt. So from that perspective, making the DH makes a lot of sense. I think being in the best shape possible is also a great idea. You know, if he's avoiding red meat and hits 14 home runs, I think the first thing you'll hear is that they're going to put him back on a higher.
Go get a burger. Diet. Go get one of those burgers named after you somewhere in Chicago. Look, Bruce, I know the skepticism is understood. Seeing is believing, though. He looks a little leaner. He looks a little fitter. He looks like he's in better shape, whether the numbers are exaggerated or not. I think that 14 home runs, he's still going to drive the ball. I don't think you forget how to hit. The recovery time is what is going to be increased, and maybe the mobility will be as well. He just needs to look more athletic, and that's how you do it. You lose weight, you get fit, you get tone.
You give me 140 games of Eloy, I'll give you 37 home runs and 120 RBI, and everybody's happy. He's your number four hitter in the lineup, and he's your most essential run producer.
Give me 140 games of Eloy Jimenez, and I will show you an all-star run producer. Yes, I agree with that. I just don't think he can stay healthy, or let's say this, maybe he can now. He hasn't shown that ability, the biggest ability, availability, and that's where he has fallen most short.
Man, I can't believe you laid that one on me.
Bruce, you've been doubting me all morning. I think it's time to wrap things up because I cannot be doubted any longer. You've destroyed and killed my confidence over the last 2 hours, but it's been fun.
It's been a fun show, David. You've done a terrific job. We have people to thank, including Lamon Pope from the Chicago Tribune covering the White Sox in Arizona, as well as Michael Fulmer of the Chicago Cubs. Sean Sears, great job producing the show. You can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine and on our website at 670thescore.com where I write Sox and Cubs all week long. Looking forward to the second week of spring training. And, David, games start today on the Score, 155. With Alex Cohn and Ron Coomer on the call.
Cubs, Giants, 155. Before that, Steve Rosenblum will have Josh Nelson, Mark Grody, Mark Schanowski, and some other guy from North Judson, Indiana, Evan Altman. Yes, stay tuned for that. Cubs baseball on the Score after that. Thanks, Bruce. Have a great week. Thank you for listening. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.